Scripture chosen for today will be familiar to those of you who were here on Christmas Eve. It comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 18. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. This ends our reading, and you may be seated.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So you're the first Sunday after Christmas crowd. The few, the proud, way to go. One of the hallmarks, at least in my life, of maturation was growing out of the phase of my life where I thought that everyone should be like me, and coming to not only realize but rejoice in the fact that other people were different from me. Now, some of these ways are pretty obvious. We have, you know, introverts and extroverts. There are people who are generous and people who are not so much. There's the glory of being left-handed, and then there's the rest of you. You know, those sorts of things. One of the things I've come to realize about myself is that when I'm looking at the world around me, what I tend to see are data points and kind of procedures or the way to order stuff. My perceptual lens is just cued that way. It's sort of set me up good for working with computers because I think procedurally like that. One of the things that I realize also about myself is the spot where I'm least comfortable, if I'm most comfortable about taking in data and sort of ordering it and making sense out of it, one of the areas where I'm least comfortable is making decisions, is seeing the choices clearly and just kind of leaping on the decision. But I know that there are some of you out there who are like that. And so my exercise today was to try to write a sermon from the point of view of people who don't see the Christmas story as a set of data to be explained, but as a set of decisions to be made. I have to tell you, this was hard for me because there were all sorts of factual rabbit holes that I wanted to climb down, and I may let one or two leak in, but I wanted to tell the story of Christmas in terms of four decisions. And for purposes here, we're going to start with Mary, who encounters an angel who tells her that she will be with child. And the angel says this: "The Lord God will give him, this baby of yours, the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary is faced with a stark decision. Does she trust her own memory of this encounter? Does she use it as an excuse to feel overwhelmed with life and to crawl into a little ball and just stay hidden? Does she use it to brag to her neighbors about how an angel appeared to her and not to them? It's an interesting set of choices that she has. And the scriptures tell us that what she ended up deciding was to accept the word of the angel and to decide that in this baby, God is acting to save his people. She sings about this a little while later in her life. She says, "He has helped his servant Israel in this child, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." The first decision of Christmas, Mary's decision, was to see that this baby was God acting for his people as he had long promised. The second decision was Joseph's. Sometime later, he finds out about Mary's pregnancy, and he's pretty sure it's not his. He's a nice guy. He doesn't want to embarrass her publicly, so he's going to divorce her on the side, not making a big fuss out of it, when an angel also appears to him. The angel says, "Don't be afraid, Joseph, because the child that Mary bears is from the Holy Spirit. You will marry her, father this child, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, here's one of these areas where if I were just being me, I would climb down this deep fact hole of what the name Jesus means and its Old Testament roots. I'm not going to do that for you. You'll have to look it up yourself. But in point of fact, the angel says that the name means that Jesus is, that he will save his people from their sins. And so now Joseph has a decision to make. Is he going to be conventional and just kind of keep the rules and divorce Mary the way that probably everybody thought he should? Perhaps he's a nicer guy than that, and he thinks Mary obviously found someone else that she is much more comfortable with. I will let her go so she can have that guy. But for whatever reason, he decides to follow the command of the angel. He decides that this child will be his, and that this child will get the name of Jesus. That is the second decision of Christmas. The third decision belongs to the folks in our reading today, and the folks who mentioned in the bear. So after Mary and Joseph were married, and not long after, they had to travel from Nazareth up the hills into Bethlehem, so that they could take part in the Roman census. And while they were there in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to her son. And as we all know, because there wasn't any room in town, they kept the child in the animal shed. And that very night, while some shepherds were in the fields near town doing the night shift, an angel appeared to them and said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy. For today, in the city of David, is born unto you a Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord." Again, there's a lot more fact rabbit holes down here. You can look them up yourself. But this is a great claim about a child. And the shepherds had a decision to make. What are they going to do about this claim that the angels made? Are they just going to assume that one of them threw some funny weed on the fire and that they were just hallucinating this? Were they going to think they just didn't get enough sleep? Or were they just going to say to themselves, "We're shepherds. Why would anyone want to hear what we have to say? But their decision was clear. They hurried into town, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. And when they had seen all of that, they told everyone what had been told to them about this child. Their decision was, we accept the angel's claim that this child is the Savior, that this child is the Messiah, the Christ, that this child is our Lord. And they told people so. That was the third decision. The fourth decision happened probably about the same time, but its impact wasn't known for a while, because sometime around the birth of the baby, a star rose that was startling enough that people who study the sky for a living noticed it. And it became clear to some of them that this meant the birth of a king, the king of the Jews. And so these men came from the east. Okay, I'm going to give myself one fact rabbit hole here, because I like this. So it's unclear where from the east is, but we have some sense of what this travel time was. In the book of Ezra, Ezra travels from Babylon, from Babylonia, to Jerusalem, and the Bible says that he actually made a quick trip of it because the hand of the Lord was with him. Do you know how long that trip took? 4 months. Now, maybe the wise men didn't travel for 4 months. Maybe it was only two. Maybe it was six. We don't know. That was my fact rabbit hole. But they were faced with a decision. Here's the star. We have come to know through whatever means that it means that there is born today a king of the Jews. What does this have to do with me? That's the decision. They could have said, it's nothing, it's just a supernova in the sky, or whatever it was, and gone on their merry way. They could have said, oh, isn't that nice? Let's wave to the Jews. Instead, they packed up their belongings. They traveled for at least months, brought expensive gifts, and bowed down in front of the child. And not only that, but they obeyed the dream that kept them out of Herod's hand on the way back and decided to honor the child more than the sitting king by returning to their own home a different way. Four decisions in the Christmas story. Who is this child? What is this child's name, and is it meaningful? What are titles of this child, and what does it have to do with us? And the Christmas faith is, well, let's hear if you can make a decision today. Is this child God acting on behalf of his promises to his people? Then can I hear an amen? Huh? Yeah. Is this child named Jesus because he saved us from our sins? Let me hear an amen. Amen. Is this child your Savior, your Messiah, your Lord? Then let me hear an amen.
Amen.
And is this child worth your time, your treasure, and your talent? Then let me hear an amen.
Amen.
If I heard four amens from you, Merry Christmas.